Welcome to episode 2 of Epiphany, the Manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. In episode 2, the focus is on Epiphany Eve, Epiphany Day, and the first Sunday after Epiphany. While Epiphany is a fixed feast which always occurs on January 6th, the length of Epiphany season is variable. Depending upon the date of Easter, which is set according to rules established at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, the smallest possible number of Sundays after Epiphany is 1. This short season occurs only when Septuagesimus Sunday, always 9 Sundays before Easter, is celebrated on January 18th, which can happen only when Easter is observed at the earliest possible date. The illustration is a detail of the left side of an 8th century fresco of the Adoration of the Magi in one of the many cave churches near Göreme, Turkey, in the mountainous Cappadocia region of eastern Anatolia. In the modern world, which people commonly do not live in the same neighborhood as their regular church, local parishes rarely hold evening prayer or other services on the eve of major feasts, the exception being Christmas Eve. Therefore, for most Anglicans, Epiphany Eve goes largely unobserved. For Epiphany Eve, which marks the start of the transition from Christmas season to Epiphany season, the lectionary in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer recommends the reading of Psalms 29 and 98, both Psalms attributed to David, Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 7, and Luke 3, verses 15 to 22. Psalm 29, the 9th of 10 Passion Psalms, mentions that, quote, "the voice of the Lord is upon the waters," in verse 3, and includes this declaration, "the Lord shall give strength to his people, the Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace," in verse 10. St. Augustine of Hippo interpreted these verses as references to the presence of Jesus Christ in human history, celebrated at Epiphany as a manifestation to the Gentiles. The illustration is a circa 1474 AD oil on canvas of St. Augustine by Justus van Gent, a part of a collection of 28 famous men at the Louvre Museum in Paris, France. Psalm 98 is among the most Christological of all the Psalms. The phrases, "with his own right hand and with his holy arm hath he gotten himself the victory," in verse 2, "and he hath remembered his mercy and truth toward the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth hath seen his salvation," in verse 4, were interpreted in the early church as a prophecy of the Nativity. Verses 1 through 4 inspired Isaac Watts to write the renowned hymn "Joy to the World," which was intended as a song about the Second Coming. Beginning in the mid-19th century, when the celebration of Christmas grew, at least partially as the result of the popularity of Charles Dickens's novel A Christmas Carol, the public accepted the music as applying to the Nativity season. At the Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, the phrase "sitteth at the right hand of the Father" was added to the Nicene Creed. Isaiah 49 verses 1 to 7 is a prophecy of the coming of the light to the Gentiles, referenced in verse 6. "Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, who will be worshipped by kings and princes." The language is similar to Isaiah 60, verse 3, "Gentiles shall come to the light and kings to the brightness of thy rising," which is read as an opening sentence at evening prayer in Epiphany season. The illustration is an 11th century Byzantine Orthodox mosaic of Isaiah at the Neomone Monastery in Chios, Greece. Luke 3, verse 15 to 22 is John the Baptist's prophecy of, quote, "one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose," in verse 16a, "and who would," quote, "baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire," in verse 16b. and was greater than himself, and who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And St. Luke's account of Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan in verses 21 and 22, which are the focus of the second Sunday after Epiphany. The illustration is an 18th century Russian Orthodox icon of St. Luke by an unknown artist from a private collection in the Netherlands. The general theme for Epiphany is the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, the visit of the three wise men, commonly called the Adoration of the Magi. The illustration is a 1961 AD Christmas stamp from New Zealand, about as far from the Holy Land as it is possible to get, with detail of Albrecht Dürer's Adoration of the Magi, painted in oils on wood in 1504 AD, following a commission from a Holy Roman Emperor. Originally intended for use as an altarpiece at a Roman Catholic church in Germany, it changed hands several times. It was purchased for the Uffizi Gallery in Florence, Italy in 1792 AD. The collect for the day, which I also read on in episode 1, firmly establishes the thematic connection between the visit of the wise men and the New Testament themes established in the Gospel of St. John, especially light versus darkness. Here the star is a symbol of the light which has come to mankind. The final clause refers to the offer of salvation in the kingdom of the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. O God, who by the leading of a star didst manifest thy only begotten Son to the Gentiles, mercifully grant that we, who know thee now by faith, may after this life have the fruition of thy glorious Godhead, through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The collect was adapted by Archbishop Cranmer from the Gregorian Sacramentary of the Roman Catholic Church for the First Book of Common Prayer in 1549 AD. In the prayer book tradition, the major feasts of the Church include additional words for the Sanctus Prayer and Holy Communion. These are called proper prefaces, or more commonly, propers. One of the curiosities of the prayer book tradition is that the Church of England did not provide a proper for Epiphany season, or Epiphany's, the day Epiphany. The Church in the United States remedied the shortcoming in the first uniquely American prayer book, the 1789 Book of Common Prayer. The proper reinforces theological themes of the season and of the Nicene Creed, and was inspired in part by Luke 1, verse 79, part of the Benedictus, and by John 1, 4, and 5, and John 8, 1, 12, the latter being the I am the light of the world saying. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who in substance of our mortal flesh manifested forth his glory, that he might bring us out of darkness into his own glorious light. The proper is to be read on Epiphany, January the 6th, and the 7 days thereafter, which together make up the octave of Epiphany, whenever Holy Communion is celebrated. The illustration is the two central panels, perspective correction applied, in the Adoration of the Magi stained glass window at the Cathedral of the Three Kings, Cologne, Germany, made by the Royal Bavarian Stained Glass Manufactory of Munich in 1846 AD, which was headed by the renowned stained glass artist F.X. Zettler. The epistle reading is Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 12. St. Paul's mini-homily on the concepts of the, quote, mystery of Christ, unquote, which is now revealed, and, quote, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The illustration is an unfinished early 15th century icon of St. Paul in the Russian Orthodox style by the celebrated iconographer Andrei Rublev, at the Tretyakov Gallery in Moscow, Russia. The gospel reading is Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, St. Matthew's account of the visit of the, quote, wise men from the east. The phrase wise men comes from the Greek word magi, who have come to, quote, worship the newborn, quote, king of the Jews. In verse 5, St. Matthew reports that the chief priest spoke to Herod of the prophecy that there would come a, quote, governor, or NKJV says ruler, that shall rule, NKJV says shepherd, my people Israel, which is actually a paraphrase of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The illustration is a set of statues of the Adoration of the Magi near the choir at the Cathedral of St. Mary of Burgess in Castile, Spain. The cathedral was begun in the 13th century and completed in the middle of the 16th century. St. Matthew records that they followed the star and, quote, rejoiced with great joy when they found the Blessed Virgin and the Christ child, to whom they presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are symbolic gifts suggesting acceptance of his royal status. The story of where and when St. Matthew's unique account of wise men acquired a number and names is complicated. In the 5th century, in the Roman Catholic tradition of the Western Church at Rome, the Feast of the Epiphany was first focused on the Adoration of the Magi. In the same tradition, around the 7th century, they were given the number 3, and the names Melchior, Caspar, or Gaspard in Anglican hymns, and Balthazar. Again, in the same tradition at Rome, bodies said to be those of the three kings were discovered in Italy at the Church of St. Eustorgio outside Milan in 1158 AD. According to that same tradition, St. Eustorgio had received the bodies from the Emperor Constantine at Constantinople in the 4th century. Probably owing to the influence of the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick Barbarossa, the remains were given to the Bishop of Cologne in 1164 AD. A shrine to house them was finished at Cologne in 1225 AD. The massive Gothic-style cathedral, which now houses the three gold sarcophagi of the three kings, was begun in 1248 AD. It quickly became famous and was mentioned in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, published at London in 1387 AD. As the cathedral neared completion, the Adoration of the Magi, set of stained glass windows by F.X. Zettler, mentioned earlier, were finished and installed in 1846 AD. The cathedral's completion and formal dedication occurred in 1864 AD. The two illustrations are a bas-relief of the Adoration somewhere in Eastern Europe and the facade of the Cathedral of the Three Kings taken in January 2009 AD. In 1857 AD, John Henry Hopkins, Jr. wrote We Three Kings of Orient Are, which firmly enshrined the story into the Anglican Christian worship tradition. Other hymns suitable for Epiphany Day are Charles Coffin's What Star Is This? And John Mason Neal's O Thou Who By a Star Didst Guide. In the newly available single-volume edition of the St. Chrysostom Hymnal, published by the Anglican Internet Church, both the We Three Kings and What Star Is This hymns are set to a simpler one-page congregational singing format versus the complex choral approach of other hymnals. The St. Chrysostom Hymnal is available using the virtual bookstore link at the bottom of the homepage at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. On occasions when there is no service for Epiphany Day, the service can be moved to the first Sunday after Epiphany. The illustration is the remarkably detailed central panel, one of 14 panels of the elaborate 15th century painting by Jaume Huguet at that adorns the high altar at St. Agatha Chapel in Barcelona, Spain. That should be Huguet. For the first Sunday after Epiphany, another manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles is in focus. The illustration is an early 20th century stained glass window of Jesus teaching in the temple at St. Joseph's Villa Chapel, Richmond, Virginia, from the AIC bookstore publication Paintings on Light, which is also available using the virtual bookstore link at the bottom of the homepage at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. The collect was adapted by Archbishop Cranmer from the Gregorian Sacramentary to emphasize the theme of mankind's dependence upon God for His grace. Lord, we beseech Thee mercifully to receive the prayers of Thy people who call upon Thee, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to do the same, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The epistle reading is Romans 12, verses 1 through 5, which is the first of four consecutive readings in Epiphany season from Romans chapters 12 or 13. His theme is the unity of the church as one body under Christ. We being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. The illustration is again Andrei Rublev's unfinished icon of St. Paul, circa 1407 AD, at the Tretyakov Gallery in Moscow, Russia. The Gospel reading is Luke 2, verses 41 to 51, which is St. Luke's unique glimpse into Jesus' life during his childhood, generally called teaching the doctors in the temple. The 12-year-old Jesus is found teaching in the temple after a three-day search. He questions his mother on how it is that she and Joseph did not know he was doing his father's business. The reading ends with St. Luke's assessment that Jesus grew in stature in multiple ways, pleasing to both, quote, God and man, unquote. The reading from St. Luke's Gospel is featured in the AIC seasonal video, The 12 Days of Christmas, episode for December 31st, the seventh day of Christmas, when the key word is family. All the episodes in the series are linked from the digital library page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. The illustration is an 18th century Russian Orthodox tempera and gilt on panel icon of St. Luke. There are no hymns written specifically for First Sunday after Epiphany, but the event is referred to in the second verse of Christopher Wordsworth's hymn, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. In the St. Chrysostom hymnal, a simpler, easier-to-sing alternative tune, Monkland, sung in eight verses, is suggested. Other AIC resources in which the readings and terms used in this episode are available are Homilies for Epiphany and First Sunday After Epiphany, which are linked from the podcast homilies page, and the Layman's Lexicon, a guide to nearly 350 commonly used words and phrases from Anglican liturgy and scripture, accessible using the virtual bookstore link at the bottom of the homepage at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Thank you for joining me for episode 2. Next time in episode 3, I continue the discussion, this time focusing on the collect epistle and gospel readings and traditional hymns for the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th Sundays after Epiphany. Episodes of all our video series are available on both our YouTube channel, https://www.youtube.com/c/stjohnc, and through dedicated pages at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net, where you'll find the digital library page, which has links to our unique Christian education video series, currently including the Lord's Prayer, the Nicene Creed, two series on the lives of the saints, and the ongoing series, The War on Christianity. and our seasonal video series, currently including the Great O Antiphons, Lessons and Carols for Christmas Eve, the 12 Days of Christmas, and of course this ongoing series, Epiphany, the Manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. The Bible study page offers links to our two currently available Bible study video series, New Testament : Gospels, presented in 44 episodes, and Revelation, an Idealist Interpretation, presented in 28 episodes with 51 illustrations from the 11th century illuminated manuscript of Revelation, the Bamberg Apocalypse. The Podcast Homilies page offers links to our extensive archive of over 600 MP3 podcast homilies based on epistle and gospel readings from the 28 Book of Common Prayer. The Podcast Archive page offers links to the podcast versions of all the videos in all three categories of our videos, Christian Education, Seasonal, and Bible Study. The virtual bookstore link at the bottom center of the homepage gives direct access to my Amazon Author Central page, where you can learn about and order both the paperback and Kindle editions of all our publications. The AIC bookstore publications are also available by special order from commercial bookstores. Purchase of these books helps fund this internet ministry, with 100% of all book royalties contributed to the AIC. Finally, Father Ron's blog, where I post usually weekly the latest news and information, including material about new videos and podcasts and planned projects for the future. I invite you to subscribe to the page by clicking the Follow Anglican Internet Church tab in the right-hand column. Subscribers receive notification from our site host, WordPress.com, of each new posting. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website and make use of its resources at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.